We made this.
Your host, Carpenter Lockwood, and today we will be diving into the third episode of the Disney Plus animated series What If, asking the question, what if the world lost its mightiest heroes? Today my guest to discuss this with me is the lovely Rowan May.
Hi, hello, Rowan. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. How are you?
Yeah, glad to have you. Listeners, if you have listen to our Loki coverage, you might remember Rowan from episode 3, I think we were on.
I believe so, yeah.
We had a lot of fun. I think that's one of... Well, it's one of the best episodes I've been in so far, so... how are you finding What If so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I wasn't sure how much I would enjoy it, but I love how it's been put together. I really love all of the concepts so far. I love the animation style, the acting, whether it's the actors that we know or new ones stepping in is really interesting to listen to and to see brought to life by the artwork of the whole show. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's definitely gorgeous. I wasn't sure how I was going to vibe with the animation because it's, well, obviously it's, you know, it's sort of a 3D sort of CG kind of vibe, but it's a little closer to, like, I'd say it's sort of midway between Spider-Verse and Archer.
Yeah, I can see
yeah,
that.
And like, I don't really like the style of Archer, but obviously I love Spider-Verse. So, you know, I was a little bit unsure about, no, I think it's a brilliant style. I think it's
absolutely
really nice. And just, oh, the backgrounds. I'm so glad that they chose to put those as the credits, because I feel like scenery artists, I mean, animators don't get enough cred as it is. But particularly like the scenery artists and like the lighting and stuff like that, it's really nice to get to just sit on those images a little bit if you want to watch the credits.
Absolutely.
Which is nice. Do you like doing the ranks out of 10? I'm not an out of 10 kind of gal.
I struggle with ranking things in general.
Yeah. how about we do, well, obviously it's a top 3 because there's only 3 episodes, but so far, worst to best.
Yeah. I think I have liked all of them, and I've liked all of them for different reasons. So if I kind of pick one that's the worst, that doesn't mean I disliked it.
Of course.
My favourite has so far been T'Challa as Star-Lord. I think it was, of the three concepts so far, it was the most unique, and it was the one that created the most unique story. And it was wonderful and equally heartbreaking to hear Chadwick Boseman's voice again.
Yeah.
That definitely brought something a little extra to it, and it really added to the story. That one has been my favourite, closely followed by Captain Carter. I'm a huge Peggy Carter fan. Agent Carter is one of my favourite pieces of Marvel media, and it is despicably underrated. So
yes,
seeing Hayley Atwell get some more of the appreciation she rightfully deserves always warms the heart. So that would leave this one that we're covering this episode, the Earth losing its mightiest heroes, in third place. I did still enjoy it. I think it had a lot of really wonderful concepts. It had the twist in it that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
But I think of the three, it felt a bit too busy. The others had like a very clear focus and a very clear storyline, whereas this one did feel a lot more busy, and I think that was to the detriment of the rest of the episode. Still very good, just the weakest of the three so far, I think.
I would agree with all that. I think, obviously, with Mr. Boseman's unfortunate passing, the T'Challa's episode is going to be particularly special, and probably the most special of the series, no matter how epic the rest of it is. I mean, if anyone has listened to my previous episodes, I'm a huge Bucky fan, and so obviously...
Really? I never would have guessed.
Never would have guessed. Me liking Bucky? No.
Who knew?
Who knew that Carpenter was into James Buchanan Barnes? Never before mentioned. Little behind the scenes for you there. Yeah, so obviously we were going to fall in love. I was going to fall in love with that episode. And yeah, I definitely feel like the plots were definitely more sort of rounded and complete in episodes 1 and 2 than in this episode. Because I feel like the Marvel TV shows and to some degree some of the films are kind of falling into the hole of just setting up the next thing. That was definitely, like, a big vibe, particularly with the season finale of Loki, because it was just... It was obviously a big cliffhanger, because mm-hmm. they know they were getting a season 2, which is exciting when shows can do that. But at the same time, it did kind of feel like a Doctor Strange kind of prequel in a way, you know?
Yeah, it left... It was a great cliffhanger, but it yeah. left a lot to be desired. They could have rounded it off a lot better. And I think that's the same kind of vibe that I got from this episode.
There was just a lot of threads being picked up and not tied together the way that the first two episodes did.
Yeah, like we got that ending of, you know... I think this one had a really interesting pacing.
Yeah, it did.
Of the way that it used the days and like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it showed how quickly all of the things happened, which is sometimes it's hard to do in films, and they did it very simply and very effectively. But yeah, it did feel a little kind of not anticlimactic, because they did have like a big, you know, visual climax of Loki walking into the UN and giving his Avengers speech.
Yeah.
But it just didn't feel complete. It didn't feel like... It felt like the ending to something else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. You know, it was kind of funny when I was watching the episode, because I've been currently watching Danny Phantom, revisiting my youth and actually going through and watching every episode, which is just, you know, a Monster of the Week cartoon, very simple. And when I was watching it, because they're only half an hour long, I was like, oh, this just feels like a cartoon. And then I took a step back and I was like, that's because it is a cartoon, dumbass. You know, like I was like, oh, they're doing their job, right? You know, because I was like, Marvel just gets so involved sometimes that I forget that this is actually a cartoon and it is just meant to be like a little dip into these alternate worlds, and it yeah. doesn't have to be like super involved. And I was looking back at the other episodes and I was like, yeah, they were quite cartoony compared to the films they're based on. Like the pacing in Captain Carter, although we have so many scenes remade from the movie, it was very much very quick time skips. You know, like very blunt.
Lots of montages.
Yeah, and very blunt and quick time skips. You know, it's just like, we gotta make a plan. Boom, we're at the evil castle. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's very cartoony. And it's great, because we're just getting through the story quickly. But yeah, this one, because it didn't have like as set a location as 2 and 3 did, if you know what I mean. Like, it was a bit all over the place, like geographically as well, so it was like it was a little hard on that side as well to kind of keep everything married together. But I do like that. I liked the pace of it, like the murder mystery, people keep dying kind of thing. I was quite shocked when Tony died. I mean, I knew that was going to happen, but like just immediately jabbed.
Yeah.
One sentence, like half a sentence of chat, and he's dead. And I was like, oh. And that was Iron Man 2, right? That happened. I think so.
I'm not so familiar with the Iron Man films. I believe that was Iron Man 2, and then we saw Thor in the first Thor film attempting to take his hammer and then being shot inadvertently by Clint.
Clint just getting arrested and then killed in his cell, mm-hmm. and then I haven't seen, like, I did watch, I finally got around to watching Iron Man 2 this year, so, but I still haven't watched The Incredible Hulk, so I
Yes, same.
don't know if, was it, I was a bit confused, was it General Ross's daughter, or was
It
it,
was. It was. It
okay.
was. It was General. It was General Ross and his daughter, who's the
Yeah,
scientist.
okay, I was confused for a second, because when she was like, she's my dad, she'll listen to me, I was like, wait, Bruce had a kid? Oh, do you mean the general? Could just be being dim, though. She was cool. I don't know what the Hulk movie is like, but that was nice. Also, just Bruce hiding in the closet,
Very sweet. Very sweet.
iconic.
While we're talking about hiding in closets, we have to talk about
Everyone was
the
coming out this
inherent
episode.
everyone coming out this episode, the inherent homoeroticism around everyone's interactions with Thor, however brief they
Yep,
were.
everyone was in it for four, and like, Coulson has never been gayer than this episode. I mean, I haven't
Oh,
watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
absolutely.
but like, literally every other line the man had was, damn, he be fine, you know? Like, it was so funny. It was like,
Sir, he's
this guy
gorgeous.
is gorgeous. And then, like, even as a rotting corpse, he smells like lavender, and he just stands there
Lavender.
sniffing him. It's like the, obviously, it's like, building on when in the Avengers when he was like, well, I was there when you were, asleep. I kind of watched you sleeping. I'm a big fan. And then later when Natasha's in the library and she gets got, she's like, what's your password? It's like, Steve.
It's hashtag Steve. I love Steve. 0704 or something like that.
4th of July, Steve's birthday.
Oh, of course, and that's his
And I was
birthday.
like,
Oh, I got I didn't pick
yeah,
that up the first
I had to
time.
confirm the numbers because of my audio memory, but I was like, brilliant. What a
What a
man, what a
man.
man.
What a man is Phil
Oh, maybe
Coulson.
bye, bye, bye. Well, actually, have
Bye
we
bye.
seen him fawn over any women? I haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know if he has any love interests. Maybe he is just gay.
I mean, there's the yeah, maybe. There's the only thing I can think of is like the background line in the Avengers film where he's talking to Pepper and he talks about a cellist and refers to it the cellist by she pronouns. And that's the most I can
Maybe he's
remember.
bi. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Otherwise, Coulson is the queer dad of
Yes.
the MCU. This is the conclusion we have reached on
Yes.
podcast
You're
six one
welcome.
six. You're
It's
welcome.
official. Also,
Canon.
I don't remember if the guys discussed this when they were talking about Captain Carter. But I just want to put my two cents out there briefly while I have the floor. Because so many Steve and Bucky scenes were recreated as Steve and Peggy scenes and they were read as romantic, if you ship Steve and Peggy and What If, you ship Steve and Bucky in First Avengers. I don't make the rules, you're all Stucky trash now. Join the squad. So back to this episode, before I get on way too many wild tangents. Fury was great in this episode. Fury's always
Yes,
great.
agreed.
He's fantastic. Like, he's so brilliant in Captain Marvel, and we finally got to see a proper good deal of him.
We see so much of him being, the man in the background in his long dramatic
Yeah.
coat. It's really good to see films where he actually gets the center, and they all inevitably end up being some of my favorites because of his interaction. So Captain Marvel, Winter Soldier, things like
Yeah.
that. He brings something to the screen and to the universe that is just absolutely incredible and that no one else I think can bring. It was great to see him in
Yeah,
this.
Samuel's such a great actor.
He really is.
He's brilliant. I honestly kind of wish they'd let go of a few other things from this episode to focus more on Fury and Coulson and maybe Natasha. 'Cause I mean, when we planned who was going to be covering what episode, and we had vague whispers of what episode was going to be what, we were quite hyped because we thought that this would be the Loki episode, and it was, but it
He was
wasn't.
in it.
We were heard this was like we the sort of prediction of this was it was going to be like some kind of Loki invasion, maybe he wins in Avengers 2012, which is kind of what happened, I guess, because 2012 didn't happen. But yeah.
This was Loki having, you know, never sided with the Chitauri, having never been exiled from Asgard.
Yeah, at this point, Thor's dead. So he didn't have the chance to be that jealous of Thor. And,
no.
You know, I don't think him and Odin would have argued that much about Thor, because he got exiled and then kind of a few days later immediately killed. And so now Loki is like, he's not like the blood heir to Asgard's throne.
He's still the crown prince,
he's still
though.
A crown prince. So yeah, this is like a new, this is yet another variant of Loki we haven't seen before.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, thinking about it and the way now that this episode was advertised as like the Loki invasion, and then the way that it actually played out as being a lot more focused on the Van Dynes, I almost feel like this single episode could have been more than one.
Yeah.
We could have had this being a two-parter of the focus on Natasha, Fury, Coulson, and Hank Pym and his relations to Janet and Hope Van Dyne, and then the kind of fallout of his actions resulting in Loki, rather than it feeling like it was just sort of shoved in there. The episode could have continued ahead with no impact on plot if the Loki invasion hadn't been a part of it, I feel. It was almost like he was there as a plot anchor to say to Fury that you have time pressure to figure this out.
Yeah.
And even when it was figured out, I mean, Loki pulled a Loki and took over Earth anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if they were to two-parter it, or to like double the length of it, maybe, I feel like it would have been better to make this episode a real murder mystery with hints about Hope that you would get if you hadn't watched the other films. Because as Craig, one of our fellow hosts, was saying in his review that he wrote, there's always a risk with Marvel things, particularly with the universe getting so involved, that you have to have seen other films to enjoy them, to get references and stuff like that. Which is fine on like a, you know, an Easter egg kind of level, or like the introduction of a new character, that kind of thing. But when it's kind of intrinsic to the plot, it's, you know, it's not necessarily great writing. Because
agreed.
If you haven't seen Ant-Man 1 or 2? 2?
Either or both. I think both, to be honest.
And you don't know who Hope is, like, you're going to be kind of confused when this, you know, when this Ant, when Hank shows up and is angry about it. I feel like it would have been better had maybe we started with maybe like some flashbacks to some missions.
Agreed.
With Hope or something towards the beginning, like a little cold open or something, just to give a hint that the Ant-Man cast are involved in this story. You know, even if it was just like, they could have given us Hope as kind of a red herring. You know, like, maybe we see Hope die on whatever mission.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, well, maybe whatever killed her is coming back, you know? And then it turns out, oh, no, it's just Hank's revenge for her having died in that service. That would have been nice. Because, yeah, unless you know who Hope is, Natasha's line, "It's about Hope," was so great. That was such a great murder mystery line. A great coded message.
It really is.
I second-guessed myself when I watched it, because when she was like, "It's about Hope," I was like, oh, it's about, like, Hope from, like, Ant-Man. And then I was like, nah, well, it's about, like, the Avengers have just been killed off before they became the Avengers, so I guess it's, like, the world's Hope? And I was like, no, it was Ant-Man. I was right the first time.
It was about Hope. Yeah, because my initial interpretation when I saw it, because I'd already had that little graphic come up where it was the invasion of Loki, was I thought that it was Loki doing it.
Yeah.
I thought it was Loki using magic to kill people, including killing Thor, and using that as an excuse to come down to Earth and be like, your people have killed the Prince of Asgard, and now I'm gonna, you know, take my vengeance. So I guess that was the red herring that they ended up going with. But I agree, I feel like there wasn't enough build-up to Hope and Hank, which is really, it's frustrating, because even in the Ant-Man films, I love Janet Van Dyne's story, and in Ant-Man 1, of what people think has happened to her, and then finding out that she's still alive, but in this microcosm,
the quantum realm,
in the quantum realm, and then the story that Hank tells of S.H.I.E.L.D. hiring Hope to go off and do the same missions for them, implying that she was quite young when she did so and when she died, and then both of them dying in the same way as these two generations of the Wasp, was such a really... It's an interesting story, and it makes Hank Pym such an amazing character, an amazing, like, and not even villain, but, like, anti-hero. Yeah. And I just feel like they didn't do enough with it, which is such a shame. I would have loved to have seen more of it. And I mean, again, for those of you who will have heard me on this podcast before, I'm a big, big Loki fan, in the same way that Carpenter is a Bucky fan. Yeah. And I would have been happy, honestly, for Loki to have taken a back seat in this, so we could hear more about the Van Dynes and about Hank Pym, because there was a lot of potential there that was just unfortunately never capitalized on.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like Loki kind of got shunted into some weird sidecar scenario, whereas I think he could have just not been in the car altogether, if we're going with this metaphor, metaphor. Yeah, I feel like Loki could have added to the episode had it not been set up as a murder mystery when Loki was the red herring, but then he had more to do, you know? Obviously, he had bigger intentions than just killing off the would-be Avengers. So yeah, but yeah, it was, you know, it was a good mystery because obviously we didn't figure it out until, you know, towards the end, and that makes it a good mystery. Could have done with a bit more hints and a bit more intrigue. It was very fast-paced because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
But, you know, even Scooby-Doo has a bit more intrigue and hints at the beginning of the episode before you get to all the corridor chases and all that. And the unmasking.
I do have to give a little commendation of part of the episode that I did really enjoy as the Hank Pym and then quote-unquote Nick Fury fight
he got
wonderfully done.
It took me a few moves to figure out that it was Loki and not Fury.
Yeah, it took me until a moment. There was a bit in during the fight where Hank Pym said something and then Nick laughed.
Yeah,
They blended Tom Hiddleston and Samuel L. Jackson's laughs.
Nice.
In that bit, and then obviously towards the end of the fight we have the multiple appearing figures of Nick Fury, which is, you know, this mirror of the scene in the first Thor film, and then all of them obviously transforming into these laughing Lokis, which was I think an incredibly done action sequence, especially for that kind of animation.
It was very cool.
Yeah, prior to this, the kind of action scenes that we'd seen were like a little bit more montaged, I want to say. So there was like Captain Carter, which they were very different of, you know, T'Challa Star-Lord being a lot more guns running and shooting, and then Captain Carter having her particular style. It was good to see this like animated acrobatic fist fight and the reveal of, it's not Nick, it was Loki all along, baha!
Although we did have some very good parkouring and stuff from T'Challa in episode 2.
Yes, absolutely.
I loved that fight against the Collector. Just because of all the weapons, the references, it was great. It was a really good
sequence. that's a thing, actually, kind of talking on the references. If we go to episode 3 and talking about like Easter eggs and stuff. Because I think so far, each episode of What If has been filled up with Easter eggs, and I think that's partially its strength, is you get to, you know, have those moments of like, oh, I see that, I know what that means.
Yeah.
So of course we've got, you know, the scenes from the various films in which we meet the characters. You've got the recycled dialogue, specifically like Loki's Stuttgart speech being moved over to the UN. Yeah. And I think it's almost, if not entirely, word for word copied over from, you know, over a crowd of horrified kneeling opera goers in Germany to millions and millions that he's delivering the speech from the UN. And rather than on his own backed by the Chitauri, he's got, you know, a troop of Asgardian soldiers behind him.
Yeah, that's a very different
Loki. It's such interesting. It really is.
I mean, like, you feel like with that presentation, the natural sort of sequel to it would essentially be something along the lines of President Loki, but it's not even that. It's literally just straight to Dictator Loki, you know? He's not even
global dictator.
Yeah, he's not even messing with Earth in a, your politics is ridiculous, I'm going to lie to your face and you will still vote for me. It's like a just a Yeah, I'm here now, and I'm in control. Yay!
And then, of course, we have the final scene with Fury and Carol.
Yes. Yes, that was...
Prepping for...
That was good.
For their get-together.
That was good. I don't know, it was really good, and it was interesting that they hadn't found Steve, you know, earlier in the episode, because
yeah.
that is the trigger for... That's the start of the Avengers film. Or that's the start mm-hmm. of First Avenger. And then when he wakes up in the future after being unfrozen, obviously that immediately leads into Avengers.
Yeah. So yeah, of course, all of this happens before Steve gets defrosted.
Yeah, which is wild. And I think I'm quite grateful that I did rewatch that sort of first phase or two earlier this year, because it does make a lot more sense in my head now that, you know, Iron Man 1 and 2 and Thor did come out before First Avenger.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realise until I watched them all again. I was like, oh, they did come out in that order. How strange.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you get that final scene of Carol, Nick, and the
shield,
discovery
yeah.
of the shield under the ice. Which is the other thing. Why is Nick in the Arctic?
What's he doing?
What's he up to?
Well, I guess maybe, like, you know, every single security and division was severely compromised by Hank during the whole episode. Like, I guess he's like, fuck it, I'm doing it myself for like everything now.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, oh, you found Captain America? All right, yeah, sure. Let me make sure that I'm there with like a miniature dude scanner so I can make sure that he doesn't get nerfed immediately. A mini dude scanner. Technical
term. Standard shield
yeah.
tech, isn't it? The mini dude scanner.
I wouldn't put it past Ultimate Spider-Man.
Honestly, no. We're gonna tune in at one point to like to Disney Plus and to like the Ultimate Spider-Man, and we're gonna get to the next episode, and we're gonna hear that young Peter being like, "Ah, yes, my mini dude scanner."
For sure, we really are.
Has 616 covered Ultimate Spider-Man yet?
We have not.
Can we get on
we
that?
Should get on that.
Can we get on
well,
that?
Well, I mean, we definitely sort of now that the Disney Plus series is our thing, and we are sort of retroactively going back and doing coverages of the films. Relevant to what's coming out. So in the future, I'll be covering Venom before Venom 2 comes out.
Very nice.
Stuff like that. We'll be going over the Spider-Man films before the new Spider-Man comes out. You know, the Andrew Garfield and the Tobey Maguire ones, as well as Tom Holland's movies, which will be very exciting in the future.
Ooh.
So, you know, hopefully I can go back and... we can cover all of those movies, and then I can convince them to let us have all of the cartoons. Every single one.
Should we get back to what we're supposed to be
Probably.
Covering?
Oh, where were we on the actual episode?
Talking about Easter eggs
yes.
and things that...
You know what I found interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... Kind of, I was just thinking about the whole, like, military service, you know, military deaths, that kind of thing, because it's a bit of a theme in this episode. But, I mean, the first thing I was thinking was that, you know, that shot at the end where we had all the kind of Avengers, like, coffins all lined up, kind of in a way that, you know, soldiers in their coffins with, like, the flags on top, but they would have their Avengers symbols.
Yeah, their symbols.
And it's like, I mean... The Avengers never happened in this timeline. It was just like, you know, it was literally a to-do list of Furies.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how they had the little symbols all ready to go. The graphics department was
yeah.
on it at S.H.I.E.L.D. I think, obviously, it was just there for like, you know, because it's a cartoon and you got to have that visualization, that sort of symbolism. But I was like, I feel like most of these bodies wouldn't be there. You know, there's only a few of them that S.H.I.E.L.D. have proper jurisdiction over. You know, like,
yeah.
Clint's got a family. Bruce.
Surely Thor would have been taken back
Bruce
to Asgard.
Bruce has friends. Thor is an Asgardian.
Bruce exploded.
Bruce exploded. There's nothing in that coffin.
It's empty. It's a pair of ripped up pants. That's
it's
it.
Just some purple pants. And then, yeah, Thor is an Asgardian prince. He shouldn't. I mean, I feel like that coffin was more symbolic for S.H.I.E.L.D. Definitely, he's definitely on a flaming ship sailing across Asgard. He's they would not have left his body behind, particularly not with Loki justifying his invasion with all that pomp and circumstance about getting Thor back.
Exactly.
So yeah, I feel like, and you know, Clint's got a family, so I feel like he, you know, they could have let S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe do the funeral, you know, kind of like a military service thing. Mm-hmm. But it's so, but then that leads me onto my second thought about it, is like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of American military, you know, it's all made mm-hmm. by American media, and it's all very sort of media-friendly propaganda, but, you know, kind of the idea is that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't the basic military, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a bit odd to have it so similar when, you know, when Hank was saying that, you know, that Hope died doing your dirty work? And it's like, well, she was the one who knew how to operate the suit,
mm-hmm.
right? She was the Wasp. And so, like Fury says, they're the heroes that can't mm-hmm. fight the battles that Earth, you know, that can't...
They fight the battles that we never could.
That one, yeah. And I don't know, it's kind of like, it's not exactly like the same as military service because they are super powered. Yeah. So like it's kind of like a higher service than just military, you know? Because it's like mm-hmm. we can't do the things that Thor and Bruce and Captain America do. You know, there is only like a couple of people that can operate the Wasp suit or whatever, you know? Like I feel like, you know, just like doing S.H.I.E.L.D.'s dirty work, well, these are the people that are doing the work that only they can do. Like, really, the heroes are kind of above S.H.I.E.L.D. in a way. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the underlying operation.
Again, I think we lost a bit of understanding and a bit of potential story from the ambiguity around what actually happened to Janet and Hope. And I feel like we wouldn't have to be having this conversation or these speculations if we had known a little bit more about them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Janet... what we know of Janet in the original Ant-Man movie is she goes off into the quantum realm. They all assume she's died and that's the end of that. And then they say in this episode of What If that Hope died in the same way as her mother. We don't know if that still means she went off into the quantum realm or if that means something different. We don't really know anything about it. We don't know if Hank was there with Janet like he was in the Ant-Man film when she went off and went off to the quantum realm and never came back. We don't know how old Hope was. We don't know what the circumstances of her death were. I just think that a lot of the confusion and debate that this episode led to, which is interesting but ultimately unnecessary, could have been avoided if we knew more about what actually happened to Janet and Hope Van Dyne.
I feel like maybe if Loki had been like, instead of being like the ticking clock to motivate Fury, instead of if it had just been like an ending, you know, maybe if instead of coming in and being like, you have till sunrise to bring me the killer of my brother or whatever, if instead of that, mm-hmm. you know, like they'd have these hints about Hope and stuff and the Wasp beforehand and built that part of the mystery, and then, you know, almost as like, you know, have the shot with the coffins and everything, and then Loki shows up and is like, where's my brother? You know, mm-hmm. I feel like that would have been like a little bit more successful instead of trying to grasp all of these plots at once and trying to
I definitely round
agree. Them out in this one half an hour episode.
Yeah, there needed to be more of a build-up to Hank Pym and to why he was there. And the only hint we really got is that when they were looking at the needle that killed Tony, of something being fired out of it like a small projectile.
Yeah.
But even then, that's very little to go on. I feel like we could have been given more.
Yeah, because it has all the builds of a good mystery. It's just not quite all the parts. Just needs a few extra bits in there to make it kind of, you know, the perfect sort of round off little mystery. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, like I said, the things that we had about Hank Pym and the Van Dynes were really, really interesting. That's why I want more of it.
Yeah.
I think Samuel L. Jackson was fantastic. I can never remember the name of the actor who plays Phil Coulson. Clark Gregg.
Yeah.
Clark Gregg was fantastic.
And
the actress who stood in for Scarlett Johansson as as Black Widow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She was brilliant.
Like, three standout performances there.
I thought she was great.
And again, and the actor who played Hank Pym, like, wonderful, wonderful performances all round.
Definitely. I feel like we talked about this before, obviously, in Loki, but I feel like this is another show of Loki getting to use his powers only when it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't get to see Loki use his full potential very much at all. Nope. And we get more development of his powers in Loki, obviously, and deservedly. But we still haven't had like a major payoff of his powers, you know? Even in The Void with all the other Lokis, there wasn't much power usage. And the last episode of Loki was obviously more of a sort of talk it out, fist fight kind of episode. But yeah, here he is doing flips and fighting Hank and disguising himself, shape-shifting, using icy cubes. Is that the thing from Jotunheim?
Yes, it's the Jotunheim casket that reveals to Loki his Jotun heritage.
Ah.
Which, again, he does appear to know about in this. He calls himself the rightful king of Jotunheim.
Oh, does he? So I missed that.
He does. He's like Crown Prince of Asgard, rightful king of Jotunheim, and he keeps getting interrupted by Fury's phone ringing.
Of course,
which
yeah.
is, again, wonderful classic bit of slapstick.
Yes.
Beautifully, beautifully implemented.
There's a lot of that in this series, which I'm really enjoying, is the not...
Yeah.
Because they've only got half an hour, so they're just having a bit of fun. And they keep kind of taking the piss out of the Avengers speech in this one, which I liked.
Yes.
Because it does get a bit much after you hear it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an idea. to bring together. Yeah, and I know, Coulson, I wrote the damn speech, like,
yeah,
it was brilliant. Yeah, so that, you know, I think overall there was some very good stuff, and it had the makings of a great mystery, just a few parts missing and a few too many threads picked up, I think,
mm-hmm.
would be my overall kind of view of this episode.
Yeah. I will add, in addition to that, some wonderful character performances
yes.
in this one. I think there have been... I think What If is doing really, really well for character performances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Specifically, like, you know, the ones that I've mentioned in this episode. And then Chadwick Boseman, of course. Karen Gillan as Nebula. And then Peggy Carter, Hayley Atwell. Just wonderful character performances. Marvel are doing increasingly well at character performances. They're kind of transitioning from just, you know, big action superhero fights
yeah.
to focus on character, which I really enjoy in my films, so I'm really excited to see that and to see where that goes. I hope they're able to maintain it in, you know, well, I can say they did maintain it in Black Widow. I hope they can maintain it in No Way Home.
Yeah, for sure. And also in Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Strange, yes. I've not yet seen Shang-Chi, but I want to see that and to see if I can do that. I have a feeling that will likely be the same.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be amazing. And there has been a shocking lack of hype for Shang-Chi on my on my social media, and I think that's a crime.
I wonder why.
So we need to fix that. Everyone needs to go and see Shang-Chi and actually support it, to show Marvel that yes, mm-hmm. we do want Asian leads and leads of color, just like we showed up for Black Panther, and that
exactly.
one's one of the best films they've ever made, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Also, okay. just the Wakandan like drum motif. Whenever it played in episode 2, just
it
gets
me
so excited. And it's same in like Falcon the Winter Soldier. I just yes.
So yeah, I think What If to me is proving time and time again, as these other recent Marvel put-outs have done, that Marvel are not sacrificing what makes them inherently Marvel, but I think are learning from the mistakes made in Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
And are starting to get those foci of individual characters. And I really hope that continues, because that's just made these stories so much more compelling when you actually care about the characters in them.
Yeah. And you know what? That's actually, I imagine, very similar to the growth of the comic books as a, as an art form. You know, back in the beginning, the comic books were very much the Fantastic Four versus the Mole Man and that kind of thing. And then, you know, now the comics are things like, you know, Nightcrawler died and we all miss him. Oh God, we gotta go get him out of purgatory because he left heaven. What? You know, and it's like, it's like, it's so like, there's more like personal storylines. There's still like crazy storylines, but I, particularly the like the Ultimate Fantastic Four comics I've read, those are a lot more just about the characters and the relationships between the characters than Monster of the Week. Which is, you know, the vibe that some of the films gave off in the beginning, is it's just new bad guy to face. And then, you know, WandaVision isn't a new bad guy particularly. I mean, there's that dude, but it's kind of like, you know, it's grief and magic and, oh God. And so we're finally getting to explore these things deeper, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think we started to get that in films like Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther in Spider-Man Homecoming. And I'm glad that these things are maintaining and that we're getting to, we're having this focus on character. And I think this is something that What If is going to be really, really good for.
Yeah.
It's because we're exploring character in ways that we currently aren't or haven't been able to. And I think that's another way where this episode three, fell a little shorter, because its focus wasn't on one single person. Whereas the other two had been. It had been Captain Carter and T'Challa as Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And we did get character explorations of, you know, Natasha and Phil and Nick Fury, but not to the same extent that we got with the others.
Yes.
And I think that might have been slightly where it fell short.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm enjoying this series, and so far it's been really well done across the board. Even in its, like, the little things it could improve on doesn't detract from the fact that these episodes are really enjoyable and are amazing concepts and wonderfully artistically presented.
Yeah, beautifully animated. Very tasty.
Technical tasty
term. I learned graphics. That one at university, you know, in my my animation degree. Tasty. Yeah, so this has been our discussion on What If episode 3, What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes. Thank you so much, Rowan.
Thank you for having
joining me. Where can the people find you?
Alrighty, you can find me in a couple of places, mainly in various channels on Twitch. I am a Twitch streamer with the group Chasing Tales RPG. We are a multiple TTRPG streaming network. We have an ongoing D&D campaign every Thursday evening. And then like little one-pages, little indie games every other Sunday. So you can find me there at Chasing Tales RPG. That's Tales like stories. And you can find that on Twitch, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, basically wherever. You can also find me, rather than playing games, writing them with Witchencraft Games, who are an indie international game development company. We are currently working on a game called Project Zero, which quite appropriately for Podcast 616 is a superhero game. But if the superheroes weren't just like state-sponsored cops and, you know, you get to fight mega corporations and beat up police robots. And I think it's super cool.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, Witchencraft Games on Twitch, or Witchencraft, like the letter N. On Twitter, we've got the demo for Project Zero has come out on itch.io very recently. It's pay what you want, so it would mean a lot if you could go and appreciate that. And the Kickstarter for the full game will be out later this year. If you want to find me personally, you can find me on Twitter at RowanMay_, all one word.
Awesome. So we'll definitely have to go check that out, everyone. I have been Carpenter Lockwood, and you can find me on the social medias as Vintage_T3A, that's Vintage T on most social medias. I will be on future episodes of What If and the rest of Podcast 616. Another place you can find me and Rowan is on the brand new Two Strangers Productions sci-fi comedy podcast, Kyo Maxi's Adventures in Everything, which we are so excited to have some of it to share with you. We've been working on it for probably about a year now, written by our brilliant friend Stuart Dunlop. I play Maxi, Rowan plays Kyo, and we are aliens that have crashed onto an infinite planet called Pam. The podcast is absolutely hilarious. It's a sci-fi comedy drama, very much sort of a bit Douglas Adams, a bit Doctor Who, very wild. And episode 2, which just recently came out, is also about heroes and villains.
It all connects.
Coincidentally. It's all connected. Everything is connected. We're also both in the Nightmare Portal, another drama podcast. This one is Modern Fantasy, written by Mae Norwood, our most lovely friend. Yeah, I think that's pretty much where you can find me. Oh, and I've also recently been joining in a little bit on some Minecraft Twitch streaming with Irish_Lassie on Twitch. So check them out, give them some love. They are playing the Colony of Kingdoms SMP if you're interested in that sort of Minecraft streaming and game streaming. Yeah, next week I think Tony Black and Rob Turnbull will be covering episode 4, where it seems Doctor Strange will be diving into the multiverse and maybe facing a dark version of himself, perhaps? We've seen from the promo, so that will be exciting. Thanks for joining us for another episode. And remember, we're part of the We Made This Podcast Network. Please subscribe to Podcast 616 and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to help out our network, please consider supporting us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/wemadethis. What If is not all we're discussing, so we'll give you a taste of what you might have missed on the network in a moment. We'll see you next time on Podcast 616, where we invite you to join us as we journey into the unknown and ponder the question, what if?
Elsewhere on We Made This.
Chucky Vision.
That's the biggest difference, I think, between all the other franchises, is that they all start, you know, the first Nightmare on Elm Street is Wes Craven's idea. The first Halloween is John Carpenter's vision.
Yeah.
Whereas Child's Play starts off this studio film, almost. And then as it goes on, they give more and more free rein to the creator, and it becomes its own thing.
Yeah, and I think that's more likely what we'll see with the Chucky TV series, which is basically the reason why we started doing this podcast.
Observing the Pattern, a fringe podcast.
I think the complete opposite to seeing yourself represented would be to see yourself overrepresented and just have it lashed into your face that there's a disabled person on the screen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, oh, look, this person's gay. We're going to tell you that he's gay every time he's on the screen. You know, that's not okay. Just let them be there, man. That's how it is in real life. They're just there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she plays it very well.
Pretty Fly, a 90s nostalgia podcast.
No, but she seemed so lovely about it. It was like, that's my name, don't wear it out. And I'm like, ha ha, funny.
That's what mums do. They're lovely even when they cut you down. You know, like even with the I'm not angry, I'm disappointed type thing, you know?
I need to go have a serious talk with
my mum. I don't know. I've never met Mrs. Nicholson, so it might be worth exploring that.
Yeah, like, hey, mum, in the mid-90s, were you sick of my shit?
Did you hate me?
She told me that she loved me, but apparently you fucking hated me, Mum, because you said, that's my name, don't wear it out, and you said it so nicely that I thought it was fine, but you lied to me.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This Podcast Network.